killers, murderers, decoding the crime verse.
911, what's your emergency? Hello, 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 and welcome back to Decoding the Crime Verse. I am Danny, and I am joined with...
Lori.
That's correct. I never know if he's going to say his name in English or in French. He changes it up every week.
Not really.
You do.
For the past weeks, I've actually checked. The only time I changed how I pronounced my name or said it was the previous show.
I know, but it's always like I have a little bet with myself of what he's going to use. It keeps my life interesting. You know, you got to find the small thing.
Yeah.
Well, today we're dealing with something. It's not a specific case. It's more of a top 12 list, not top 10, top 12. And this is the top 12 disappearances of all time, you know, because people be disappearing left, right, and center, apparently.
Yeah.
Crazy things. Not all of them are crime related. It's more like just people that have disappeared, that have left, mystery solvers, and people who are interested in this type of stuff, baffled for years. Some of them make me irritated because I'll never know the answer, and that just irritates me. But anyway.
Yeah, a lot of things irritate you.
Yeah, you should know that. No, I'm kidding. Okay, so the first one is Amelia Earhart. Glory, do you know who Amelia Earhart is? Probably not.
Definitely not.
Wow, guys, he's not a history buff, so we'll forgive him. But she was one of America's most famous aviators, and she remains remembered for her accomplishments. She was the first ever woman to fly solo across the Atlantic Ocean, but also the first person to fly across the Atlantic and the Pacific period. So she achieved a lot in the pilot industry. I don't know what industry, I don't know what that industry is called, so we'll just go with pilot. These feats earned her the nickname Lady Lindy because she was being referenced to Charles Lindbergh. He was also a famous pilot. However, we've done a show on him. His baby was kidnapped and killed. And if you ask me, he did it. But that's okay. Another story for another day. But regarding Earhart, her disappearance has stumped people for decades, right? And it was the disappearance of herself and her navigator, Fred Noonan, right? And the plane containing both Earhart and Noonan disappeared on July 2nd, 1937. Earhart was attempting to set a new record of becoming the first person to fly around the world using the equator. So basically fly on the equator line, I think. That doesn't sound too difficult, yeah. But I'm no pilot. And this was actually her second attempt doing it because the first attempt a year earlier, they had actually crash-landed a few days into the trip. And because of this, they then did a whole bunch of work on the plane, and they included rerouting the intended journey and abandoning the plane's CW transmitter, which obviously would have contributed to the disappearance.
Yeah.
Now, theories range from the plane running out of fuel to crashing into the sea to an emergency landing on some remote island. But the fact is that we will never know, and she was officially pronounced dead on the 5th of January, 1939, so 2 years later. Because, I mean, if you haven't made an appearance in 2 years, I won't lie, although, if I also crash-landed on some really nice remote island, I wouldn't go back to society, because, you know, society is society.
Yeah.
I'd also just live there all my happy little days. But that's beside the point. The next person, or number two, is Jimmy Hoffa. And I don't know who Jimmy Hoffa was, but he was a significant figure in the American labor movement. So obviously labor, work, protesting, all that jazz. And he was someone who had numerous, numerous amounts of enemies. Anyway, Hoffa understood the immense power he had at his disposal as the lead of the Teamsters Union, a power he supplemented with his involvement with organized crime. all of which put him in the crosshairs of mobsters and even worked with Robert Kennedy and the federal government, and it just caused a whole bunch of, a lot of problems, let's just say it like that. On July 30th, however, in 1975, Hoffa left his home in order to go and meet someone at a restaurant, and he never came home. And that's as much as we know.
Hmm.
Never came home. Body was never found. Nothing. Just poof, vanished into thin air, you know? Yeah. Crazy stuff. The next one, which I thought was quite interesting, is called the Roanoke Colonists. Now, there was an adventurer and author, and his name was Sir Walter Raleigh, and he was part of the 1616 explorers who went to South America, and he actually was later on convicted for treason and actually put to death. Now, this obviously isn't a disappearance if we know what happened to him, but he founded the Roanoke Colony in what is now North Carolina in 1585. And this was one of the attempts to found a permanent colony, English colony in North America. However, 5 years later, a ship visited the area, this colony, and found it completely abandoned. There was not a single colonist there. Completely disappeared. No one knew. The only thing they had to go on was written was the word Croatian carved into a skate wall. That's it. That's the only thing that was left of all these people. And there was many theories that there was a massacre, or they had just gone and integrated themselves into a nearby indigenous communities. But centuries later, no one has been able to find these people who had settled there in this colony. They all just disappeared. Which is a bit crazy, if you ask me. Like, yeah. A whole town to disappear is a bit much. So that was that one. The next one is Ambrose Bierce. And he was a author. He wrote things such as a book called The Devil's Dictionary and The Tales of Soldiers and Civilians. And he was actually a Civil War veteran. And he fought for the Union and actually became a lieutenant. And it was one day he went to go and visit some of these Civil War sites, you know, live up the memories, at age 71, when he just disappeared. Travels were made him pass through Mexico, but Mexico was in the midst of its revolution, and he just vanished. There's no trace of him. And even federal agents could not confirm the fate of what happened to him, but many believe he ended up at the wrong side of a gun.
Okay. So this is a retired soldier who went to look at his previous, battlegrounds?
Yeah.
And you said he wrote a book called The Devil's Dictionary.
Mm.
Oh, that's interesting. I was wondering if it was going to be one of those, you know, when like...
It's a very much more like a war type of...
Yeah, but I was, yeah, in my mind when you said that, immediately what came to me was like maybe he had like, because of his trauma he was hallucinating, and then came
my word.
Inspiration to write the book.
But he wrote the books way before he disappeared.
Oh. Yeah.
Well, how could he write books after if he disappeared?
He wrote the book
after the war. Yeah, well, they obviously would have been about his trauma and stuff like that. Yeah. Mm.
So he saw the devil.
Wow. Wow. We now have D.B. Cooper. Do you know who D.B. Cooper is?
That name sounds familiar.
It's because we've done a show on it in the past. Well, you weren't part of the show, but I've done a show on it in the past.
Technically, I was part of the show. I just wasn't speaking.
Editing it.
No, producing the show.
Producing correction. The... fancy. Yes. Sir.
Still am. But anyway...
Anyway, D.B. Cooper, what do you remember? Nothing.
Nothing.
Absolutely nothing. So, nobody knows what happened to D.B. Cooper after he jumped out of plane after holding it hostage.
He jumped out of plane. I think we all know what happened to him. Pretty obvious.
What we do know was that on Thanksgiving Eve on 1971, a man identifying himself as Dan Cooper... Fun fact, it's not actually D.B. Cooper. It was just misquoted in a newspaper and that headline blew up and now everyone calls him D.B. Cooper, but it was actually Dan Cooper. and he committed the most famous unsolved skyjacking in history. He was able to collect a $200,000 ransom and then leapt out the plane with a parachute, never to be seen again. Years later, some of the money did turn up on the north shore of the Columbia River, and though the FBI closed the case on Cooper, it hasn't prevented plenty of amateur investigators from continuing the search of this infamous criminal. I think his story is so cool. I mean, it's one thing to hijack a car on the road, but to hijack an aeroplane in the sky?
Yeah, that's like top.
That's
like
top notch.
Secret agent, superhero.
Yeah, he claimed he had a bomb. That's how he did it. He claimed he had a bomb and that if he didn't get his money. So what they did was they then landed the plane. He got handed the money. He took off the plane again and he jumped out the plane.
Yeah, that's what you call a super villain.
Right. But no one knows. Did he die in the ocean? Did he live and spend his money? What happened? We don't know. We don't know.
Yeah.
We next have Belle Gunness, right? And now she's quite interesting because she came about after, quite quickly after H.H. Holmes, who was known for the murder castle, also very big serial killer. And the thing was, is she, this killer was a little bit more scary to the public because she, first of all, had more confirmed kills and more suspected kills than Holmes. And Holmes was not a great guy. Plus, she was a woman. So people were a little bit more frightened. Anyway, she began her criminal career with insurance scams, such as when she and her husband burnt their house burnt down mysteriously and they claimed the insurance money. And not long after, her husband died mysteriously and Belle claimed the insurance money again, thus beginning a strange string of deaths of all of which from which Gunness profited from. And this could have been from intended suitors or even children. In 1908, suspicion began to fall on Belle from the brother of one of her victims. Conveniently, her farmhouse then burned down and there were four skeletons inside the house and they believed that she was dead. However, her hired hand, Ray Lamphere, was arrested for arson and murder, but he said that Belle had managed to fake her deaths and that she was on the run, but she was never found.
Yeah, interesting.
So if it wasn't her skeleton in the house, whose skeleton was it? That is the very, very big question.
Yeah, maybe from some mummy in an Egyptian temple.
Oh my goodness. Oh, I can't even. Where was she going to get a mummy?
I don't know.
Where? She didn't travel to Egypt. In those days, you couldn't just get on an airplane. You had to go on a boat.
Got it from some.
Or she killed someone. Maybe that's a pretty obvious solution. Since she was a serial killer. Like, I think that's one plus one equals two with that one. We now have the Solomon Northump. Northump? Northump? I'm going to say Northump. That sounds a little better than Northump. Imagine your surname being Northump.
Yeah. I said imagine. I tried thinking about it. It just doesn't make sense.
Lori Northup. Wow. Northup was born a free man in New York of 1808, and he married in 1829 and had three children. To support his family, he purchased a farm with some extra money working as a fiddler. One day when he was seeking work, he was convinced to travel to Washington, D.C., where men claiming to be part of a circus asked if he wanted to join. However, they drugged him and sold him into slavery. Crazy. Northup endured brutality and witnessed atrocities under slavery that many would deem unspeakable in horror. And it was actually because of this that he wrote his memoir, 12 Years a Slave. If any of you have seen the movie. Have you seen the movie?
No.
No, I thought so.
Why am I watching slave movies?
Aren't you wanting to know about your fellow African people history?
I've seen a few.
You never heard of 12 Years a Slave? It's a big movie. It won Oscars and everything.
No. Have you ever watched Django Unchained?
No. What is that?
It's also a slave movie.
But besides the point. You have more connection.
They were picking cotton.
Picking cotton. Oh, my. No, wait. Please tell me. Wait. Tell me what the movie is about. I'm intrigued.
It's fine. We'll talk about it after the show. Let's finish the show.
No, what if the listeners were also interested about Jambo?
They either know about it. They either know about it.
Well, I'm pretty sure they do know about 12 Years
of a Slave.
And if
they don't know, you can check it out.
Anyway.
Not a paid promo.
So, man literally survived slavery, wrote this famous book, and then just disappeared in 1863 and was never found. So, you go through all of that just to disappear. Although, I would also want to just disappear if I'd gone through all of that. I'd be like, I'm tired of all you people. Bye. I'm leaving. I wrote my book now. You can all read about what you did. I'd do that. Well, we have another author on this list, Agatha Christie. Now, do you know who Agatha Christie? Be very careful. Okay, thank goodness, because this is going to cause a fight. She's like one of my favorite authors of all time.
I don't know why you're staring at me like that.
You should know these pieces of information. We've been friends long enough. Anyway, there was no mystery surrounding her death. Her death was very normal considering the mystery she used to write. However, in 1926, she had published 6 of her novels, and in August, her husband told her he was leaving her for another woman. And she felt completely blindsided. They stayed together for a bit, but tensions rose. On December 3rd of that year, Agatha left her home in Sunnydale with no explanation. And her car was discovered the following day. And this created great alarm within the communities. And so soon newspapers got wind. There was suspicion of foul play, suicide, and other theories for about 11 days because they could not locate Agatha Christie. However, on December 14th, Agatha was located at the Swan Hydropathic Hotel in Harrogate, Yorkshire. And now this is what makes me so... I would do this. She checked into the hotel using the name of the woman her husband was having an affair with.
That's a boss move.
I know! I'd do that. I'd be like, I'm this chicky chick. Anyway, she stayed there for the 11 days and she claimed she had no memory of how she got there or what happened during those 11 days. And they basically just sent it down. Well, put it down to, you know, when you go through some trauma or mental breakdown type of vibes. But many people still wonder what happened in those 11 days. And I also wonder what happened in those 11 days. We next have the Confederate prisoners from the Shohola train wreck. So, during a deadly train wreck that's killed 65 people, 5 Confederates saw the opportunity for a fresh start and, well, they ran away. On July 15, 1864, a steam engine train was carrying 128 Union guards and 833 Confederate prisoners. How can you have 100 guards for 800 prisoners? Isn't that a little, like, don't you need more than that?
A lot more than that.
You understand?
It sounds shady.
Yeah. Anyway, the trip from Maryland to New York should have gone without any problems. However, the dispatcher had warned to halt any eastbound trains until the engine train had passed. But there'd been miscommunications due to a 4-hour delay in departure, and it resulted in an eastbound coal train slipping through. The two trains collided at the Shohola Township, which the locals of the area said the ground literally shook like an earthquake. I mean, this is two trains colliding. It's a big thing. And the crash created shocking amount of carnage. And among this carnage, these 5 prisoners were like, yo, guys, everyone else is busy. Let's get out of here. And they took the opportunity, and, well, they were never heard of again. I won't say that. I must say that is some pretty good luck. Not luck. That's the wrong word. No, it is luck. They're very lucky. Because imagine you are on a train bound for prison and the train crashes. That's like when you see the movies and then the prison the prison, like, truck breaks down and the prisoners run away. Same type of vibe. But, I mean, I would think the same thing. I'm a prisoner. Next thing, the train's being crashed. And I'm sitting there, I'm thinking, no one is taking notice of me right now. And I would get out of there. Believe you me, I would do the exact same thing. I ain't gonna sit there and wait for them to take me into custody again. Are you crazy? Anyway, the next one, and I don't know what number we are on. Oh, I think we are number 10. Yes, 10. Is Raoul Wallenberg. So Wallenberg was a notable hero during World War II, right? Now, I'm also a huge fanatic with when it comes to World War II as, what's it called? I love studying it in all its glory. And it's always just been a fascinating, not the atrocities that happened. I'm not saying that. But I just, it's very interesting to me about all the events and the battles and Churchill and everything. It's one of my fascinations. So we're looking at Wallenberg, and he actually saved thousands of Hungarian Jews. He was on the War Refugee Board, and he was a Swedish businessman who was recruited by the US to work on this board and to travel to Budapest as a diplomat to try and save Hungarian Jews amidst the Holocaust. And when Wallenberg issued certificates of protection on behalf of the Swedish legation to spare Jews in Budapest from deportation and helped establish hospitals and safe houses for the vulnerable. So, in all, a pretty stand-up guy, don't you think? So, a pretty stand-up guy. However, he did not have a very happy ending. In late December 1944, the Soviet Union began its siege of Budapest, and on January the 17th, 1945, Wallenberg was called to meet the Soviet general, where he was detained for suspicion of espionage on the behalf of the United States. He was last seen with the Soviet officials on January 17, 1945, and Soviet reports say he died on July 17, 1947, in a prison in Moscow. But witnesses say that they saw him in other prisons after that date, and the fate of what happened to him is never truly been discovered. Do I believe anything that comes out the Soviet's mouth? Not a fat chance. I do not believe anything that came out of Russia during that time. But shame. I mean, to go from being a literal war hero to saving all those lives, and then you yourself end up in prison with the Soviets. No, thank you. Our second last person is Heinrich Müller. Now, he is quite an interesting figure, as he was in the bunker where Adolf Hitler and his bride Eva Braun committed suicide. So he was there. In fact, he was probably one of the last people to see Hitler alive. And obviously Hitler and his wife died by suicide because they didn't want to face consequences as the Soviets were closing in on Berlin. I have been there. It is just a parking lot. They didn't want to commemorate who Hitler was, so they didn't give him a grave. They just built a parking lot. So
wow.
You can literally park where Hitler died. Very interesting.
Where he supposedly died.
Well, I think he's dead. There is no way that man survived and no one knew.
Okay.
No.
Disguise, surgery, anything.
In the 40s. No, I'm not even going to fathom that thought. I'm not going to acknowledge
beard,
it.
Beard transplants.
Wow. Anyway, this man, Heinrich Müller, was in the bunker, and he was a high-ranking Nazi official. He was a member of the SS and the Gestapo. Okay, those are like, you don't get more evil men than that, okay? He was also instrumental in both the Kristallnacht program, which resulted in the arrest of 20,000 Jews, and Operation Himmler, which was an operation they created to invade Poland. Not a nice guy at all. And he was last seen in this bunker on May 1st, 1945, just the day after the death of Adolf Hitler. Wow, Adolf Hitler. Oh, it's the 3rd of May. He died 4 days ago. A lot of years ago. From that moment forward, he disappeared. The Soviets assumed he fled to the West, and the America believed he fled to the Soviets. But after declassified documents came out, it revealed that none of them actually had contact with him. And he is to date the most senior Nazi officer who was never captured or confirmed dead. Wonder, could he still be alive? In which the 40s, he would have been like, in, no, if he was 1940s, he would have been in his 30s, 40s. Oh, yeah. I don't think he'd be alive. He'd be over 100. No, definitely
not. Yeah, not alive.
Where would he have gone? That's my question. Where did that? I've always found so interesting. The Nazis that did get away, where the hell did they go? I mean, where did they go? Just now they're going to go casually live in, I don't know, Italy and eat pizza. Like, this is why I love studying World War II. I think it is so fascinating. Even like the Nuremberg trials and all of that, it is so fascinating to me. Our last disappearance that makes our top 12 list of disappearance is, of course, and if you don't know this one, Glory, then I'm very disappointed, the Malaysian Airlines Flight 370.
What do you mean you're disappointed?
Do you know what it is?
Malaysian Airways.
Do you know the story?
People died on a plane.
No, the plane disappeared. I can't, guys. Someone buy him a history textbook.
I've heard of the story of the plane disappearing. Well, they don't buy it. That stuff only works in like African witchcraft.
2014, there was a disappearance of the Malaysian Airlines Flight 370. I nearly read that so wrong, guys. Numbers are not making sense to my brain today. But it was fascinating, but also terrifying because, I mean, this is 2014. You think about disappearances and not being found, you think about things like a long time ago. But this was 2014. And on March 8th, 2014, the Boeing 777 was carrying 239 passengers and crew, and it was meant to be a 5.5-hour flight from Kuala Lumpur to Beijing. Not a long flight. I've been on much longer flights. I've been on a 24-hour flight. 5.5 hours, it's nothing. And en route, the plane appeared on Vietnamese radar, and then it just wasn't. The plane's responder mysteriously stopped broadcasting, and the Vietnamese and Malaysian military radar showed the giant plane traveling north, but then turning west towards the Andaman Sea and the Indian Ocean. The autopilot was switched off, presumably by hand, in order to make the turn west, and it was. The plane was never seen intact again, and the fates of its occupants were presumed, well, never confirmed. And there were several debris found in the Indian Ocean with serial numbers that made it clear that they came from the plane, but almost 11 years, well, it is 11 years this year, 11 years? No, 2014. It would be 10 years this year. Yeah, 10 years this year. There are several... it would have just been 10 years now in March. Sorry. Oh, that's crazy. There are several theories have emerged to precisely the fate of the plane. I do believe this was not by accident. I do not believe a plane can just disappear. With that many people. 239. Because that I don't believe. I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but this is one where I do believe that there was foul play or something happened, and I feel very sorry for the people on that plane because I believe they probably suffered, if not are suffering. And I actually hope that they're not. I actually rather hope that I'm just gonna sound so horrible, but it's the same. It's rather death is a mercy in some instances, and I think this would be one of them. But yeah, those are the top disappearances of all time. I'm still very fascinated by Agatha Christie. I know Glory sitting across from me is also. He's also. I know he's said often about the Malaysian airline flights, and that's always interested him. And you know, I definitely believe that. These things are crazy, and these disappearances, they, like, you know when you have like an itch, a scratch on your brain, and you can't scratch it, and you just want to know what happened. These disappearances are an itch on my brain. I just want to know what happened. I wish I could, if I could get my hands on the DB Cooper case files, oh, I would have a field day. I would absolutely love it. I'd love to work it and try to figure out who it was. But that is all for the disappearances, the top 12 disappearances of all time. We hope you enjoyed. Otherwise, we will see you right back here next week. Same time, same place, but until next time, goodbye.
Active FM. Radio has never been better.